Hey folks, Eddie Olchek here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events, and none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friend...
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse player now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Vick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-464.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Downs, sitting with Gary Palmisano Jr., and we've really, thinking back to Derby week and Derby fortnight coverage, I think we had the conversation when the whole concept of the Churchill Downs Racing Club was being introduced and Warriors Club being offered and selected and trained by Dwayne Lucas. It was going to be a success anyway, Gary, but to see what's gone on with this horse in particular and the reaction that it's prompted is just incredible.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. I think it far exceeded our expectations. I mean, we knew when we got Wayne Lucas as our trainer that anything was possible, but he's lived up to it, and this horse has been kind of a dream come true for a lot of people, and he's made a ton of people extremely happy, and we're excited to see what he can do on Derby Day.
Not only have the participants been rewarded with a series of tremendous performances and a horse that's made $500,000,
yep.
The way it has moved Wayne, it has been somewhat somewhat shocking. He has been overwhelmed by the reaction of the participants, and I think really it's been enlivening to him to a degree. I mean, saying, you know, the people that were in tears and when they won the Spendthrift specialty stake, and then to go on to what's transpired here, it's really could not have gone better.
Yeah, I think he's been very rewarded by this experience. I think he's put a lot into it. He's been very giving of his time. He's always made time for all the people who stop him, whether it be in the clubhouse or in Kroger or anywhere, because inevitably wherever Wayne's at, he runs into one of the 200 folks or 400 folks that have horses with him. And he's been super gracious with his time, and I feel like this has been very rewarding for him. I think racing's done a whole lot for Wayne, and this was a good opportunity for him to give a little back and kind of keep the game going, and I think he's done a tremendous job with it, and we really appreciate all that he's putting into it.
The situation coming out of the win at Keeneland, and first of all, winning at Keeneland, I mean, that as many people that were excited to come here and be on hand for the maiden win and for everything else that's gone on, to win here, to then go win at Keeneland, I mean, it's just a... And he's really performed well everywhere. I mean, at Saratoga, I mean, it's been, and people came to Saratoga for his two races. And I think Naira was thrilled by that too. I mean, it's just been incredible.
Yeah, when he won his allowance race at Saratoga, I think 40 or 45 people went up for that, and that was what we thought was going to be. All right, we can't really do a whole lot much more than this. I mean, we won a stake at Churchill, we won an allowance race at Oaklawn, and we've just won a race at Saratoga, and so we thought that was going to be kind of it, and then the win at Keeneland was just super, super special. I think there was at least 60 or 70 folks out there. The pandemonium in the winner's circle that kind of ensued following that race with Wayne jumping up and down and people just hugging and crying and then trying to get them all over there and get organized, it was chaos, but it was good chaos. It was a lot of fun. It was something that was really special that I think a lot of people, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Except that it's more than that, because it's become a multiple opportunity, and not just limited to the Churchill Downs Club. It fostered the Fairgrounds opportunity, the Fairgrounds Club, and I think we've had horses with Dallas and with Al Stahl. Tom Amos, now we'll talk about the new opportunity. But in addition, you couldn't help but notice that, you know, other racetracks have seen this and have taken up the same cause and a way of Oaklawn. Looks like they're on their way to a successful introduction of a racing club as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. We've had quite a few tracks reach out to us. Obviously, we didn't create the model. I feel like we've pushed the model forward, and tracks like Perry Meadows and Oaklawn, as you mentioned, and our sister tracks at Fairgrounds in Arlington are all jumping on board and all getting behind it, as well as Canterbury and Emerald, where it kind of first came into existence. But I think it's been an overwhelming success, and as you mentioned, the Fairgrounds Club is one that we're pretty proud of. That was a partnership that we did with Spendthrift Farm and B. Wayne Hughes, and we actually had 20 of those members all pull up to get $100,000, and they actually purchased the horse from Mr. Hughes. So we have 20 new owners just out of that group, along with 25 or 30 others that have come out of the Churchill Downs side. So from that standpoint, we've created at least 50 owners out of this thing, and that's what the true success story is.
Well, the concept has also got to provide a certain amount of challenges too. I can tell you from our little group that we do with DT, and we had the same kind of experience when Aussable Chasm, particularly when she won at Saratoga, 75 people in the winner's circle, and people that never even expected to go to the paddock with a horse, let alone win at Saratoga. You've got now a circumstance where on Derby Day, the Churchill Downs Handicap Warriors Club is going to participate. And what do you do now? You've got one of the biggest days of the year, and you've got all these people, and how many have already had already gotten tickets and so forth.
Yeah, well, that's one of the good things. I think a lot of folks do already attend Derby, and I think most of them had an opportunity to purchase some tickets earlier on in the year through the club. And we did have a practice last year. Warriors Club ran in the Pat Day Mile, so
that's right.
We had a practice under our belt, so we think we have a plan this year, and we hope we have to execute it. It's one of those things where everybody's kind of like the well, what if we win? We need to be prepared for it, and I'm like, don't talk about that. It'll all work out. So I think our team has a plan, and they're just not really telling me yet. And hopefully, we have to pull it off.
You explained to me off air what you're going to do in terms of putting them together and keeping them over, you know, in the paddock and watching the race there, and should he be fortunate enough to win, take a picture in the paddock where it'll be a lot easier for the Cody staff to handle it.
Cody's a big friend of ours. Cody's been very supportive of the club, obviously, at Keeneland and Churchill. I think Cody Photography has really enjoyed the Churchill Downs Racing Club.
Well, yeah, because they have 100 photographs to sell every time the horse wins, if he wins here.
Exactly. But Cody's been a great team, a great part of the team. I think he's really helped the club, and it's so exciting to see these folks. They put on the Facebook page that their photo came in, and they have them all framed up in their offices, and it's part of the experience, and we're glad that so many people have had the opportunity to participate.
What's the latest opportunity that just was announced?
So we are same concept. We're going to go with Tom Amos as our trainer this year. Tom's had a lot of success over the past few years with GMB and choosing young horses. So he is actively shopping at the OBS sale. We were outbidded on one yesterday, so he is looking for our next horse. You can sign up today to be a part of that experience. It's on our website, churchilldowns.com/racing club. Same as Warriors Club and all the others. It's $500 to join, and that gets you all the experiences as long as our horse will take us. And in Warriors Club's instance, his group of 200. Have purchased two horses since then. So we've expanded Warriors Club stable thanks to his efforts. And so the money kind of all stays in the account with that particular horse, and we just kind of ride those horses out and hope for the best.
Yeah, it's a very, in fact, I just looked at it at the website, and it's a very easy click through to get involved. I'll send the link out. Amos, and so many other horsemen right now down at OBS, and just looking at the numbers, and they literally are starting as we speak, day three of OBS April, and we'll watch and see what Amos comes home with. He's got a horse that he claimed for $25,000 in the Oaks. So, for those of you that didn't see it, I sent Andy Serling circulated the day before the video that came from the Saratoga Summer telecast, which of course Amos is part of the broadcast team, and some of the best coverage actually at Saratoga is Amos and Andy. Amos and Serling are terrific together, and Tom was mic'd up as he went to the paddock to saddle a maiden first timer that turned out to be Lone Sailor, and it is absolutely remarkable. And I if you haven't seen it, go through my timeline on Twitter or to Andy's and watch. It's about 6 minutes long, and it just so happens, I mean, that they pick it's like one of those situations like you guys, I mean, you pick out one horse and start this concept, and the next thing you know, you got a multiple stake winner. It's crazy, but the fact that this horse turns out to be a Derby horse and the Benson's portion of the story as well. But Amos will,
yeah, Tom's going to
pick
be great.
One out.
Yeah, Tom's great. He's an excellent horseman, and he's very friendly with people, and he's a great communicator, and I think he'll really adapt to teaching the club, and that video is a prime example. He's very much about education and trying to make sure that people understand what goes into this industry and what we do. And I think he'll be very good for the club.
Well, Churchill Downs Racing Club and Gary Palmisano Jr. also a big part of it, and interacting with Gary, and you know, you must handle dozens of requests and questions, and you help people understand and learn the game. And you know, you were born into it literally, and have been around the racetrack your entire life.
Absolutely, yeah. Dad is a longtime horseman down in Louisiana and now works at the fairgrounds, and that was my life. And so I'm happy to be able to kind of educate people on the industry that we know and love, and hopefully we can find more people that jump in and participate. And you know, this club has been a great opportunity, and I think we've created new owners. We have people excited about the sport, and Warriors Club's taken us to places that we've never dreamed of, and we're going to see what happens on Derby Day.
Unbelievable. A great story. Let me, while I've got you also, a couple of thoughts, little Oaks and Derby thoughts a week out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see this crop. This is a great group. Looking forward to seeing some of the Baffert horses show up. I've only seen Justify on Twitter and Facebook, and he looks like quite the imposing force. So I'll be very excited to see him when he comes on the grounds. I think I'm going to lean toward Audible. I think Audible can kind of make his own trip. I liked how professional he was in his races down in Florida, but there's a host of horses that could win this thing this year, as there are every year, but more so than normal this year. I feel like this is a fantastic bunch, and just getting ready to see it all here in a few days.
Well, Gary, best of luck with not just with Warriors Club, but I know that you play plenty and send it in yourself. So get lucky across the board here. And the Churchill Downs Racing Club has really just been a smashing success, and Warriors Club soldiers on, coming off the win at Keeneland and looking for a win in the Churchill Downs Handicap on Derby Day. Gary, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks. We appreciate it. This is going to be we enjoy having you guys here, and whenever you guys come to town, I know the crunch is on, so I love seeing you, but it always kind of amps things up a little bit.
To follow Gary on Twitter, Gary Powell Jr. And I've got to put the junior in my phone, so that when your dad gets a hold of me, that I don't assume that it's you. So
it's all good. You're not the only one.
I'm sure, right?
As Indian Charlie said, little Gary Palmisano is my industry name, thanks to my dad. So I appreciate him putting me kind of in this path and getting me bit by the horse bug. So
there you go, like Little Al.
There you go.
There's Big Al and Little Al. Gary Palmisano Jr., everybody. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour, Steve Haskin. We'll catch up with Steve next as Barbara Livingston strides by with the cameras dangling from every shoulder. Back after this, 90 plus in, 90 to come, a little less, and Churchill Downs. Happy to be here. Back after a break.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4644.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence, but then you realize.
Down 20 minutes to the top of the hour, Steve Haskin of the Blood Horse joins us, and we can tell from Steve's postings on Twitter in particular and at Blood Horse that he's getting excited. He's watching every morning, and just as good as being there. In fact, better, Steve, because it was cold and rainy for several days, so watching it from home, just as good, and you feel like you're getting just as prepared for Derby 144. Good morning.
Steve, you make it sound like you'd rather be here.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but, well, the rain finally cleared out, and today was the first nice, really nice day of a week here. But no,
I see that. I see it. I'm happy, like, to be here. Very nice morning.
Yeah. No, we're getting.
But every time whenever I see the backstretch, I always I transport myself there. I said, okay, I got to picture myself here. I got to picture myself there. Whenever you see the horses gathering to come onto the racetrack, for the training, I say, okay, where am I? Where was I? Where am I standing? Where am I watching this from? So it's, it's kind of interesting to do that when you're not there. After 28, 30 years or something like that, it's hard to just go cold turkey, but it's been a few years, so I'm used to it.
Well, you have the advantage, too, of, being able to collate all the information, whether it's, utilizing XBTV's coverage, and it's been invaluable being on hand virtually everywhere, Payson Park and at Palm Beach Downs and Santa Anita, and then you've got the feed that's coming here with Ed and Scully and Joe Christofek and the hour that they're doing every morning, it's a whole new era, Steve. It's amazing.
Tell me.
Yeah, you get everything delivered to you.
Right. It used to be where you could turn on the screen, but there was no voices. You would just watch the horses as they come on, and they would identify them. Then they started doing the voiceover, and now it's a full show with interviews. And, it takes up the whole hour now, even though the training is only 15 minutes. But, it's a whole hour show, and they have questions from everybody. And they do a good job. Joe Christofek is very good. I mean, he does a good job on that show, and Jim Scully is very good. Ed Rose wasn't on today, but he does a good job. It's it's very well done. It's very entertaining. I'm not used to it being on from 7 to 8, though. You know,
right.
Remember, it used to be the
8:30.
The Derby training was 8:30, not 7:30. So it's a big difference now with the extra break. I tell you one thing, by the way, going back into my days, the media would not be very happy, by the way, having to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to catch it. I know a lot of my my old cronies, they didn't show up at the track until 7:30, 7:45, so they would miss the training to have it that early.
Well, for me personally, it's even better because of the training period from 8:30 to 8:45, than having to run over here, particularly to it was different when we were up on the sixth floor, but then coming over to the broadcast center to the media center, so it actually is made for a much more leisurely morning.
Sure.
Getting here and that it's actually I kind of prefer it personally.
I mean, you could get to see everything now. Now do you hang out? I take it you do your show in the same place?
Yeah.
In that media center there?
Yeah.
So what do? You just walk up those stairs and go out to the grandstand?
No, I'm up in the clocker stand with John and Welsh and everybody.
Don
Winfrey and Pete Vestal and the clocker stand.
Yep.
Marty,
you mean
that
you're way up top?
The fourth floor. It's been the last couple of years been on the fourth floor since the sixth floor was co-op.
I've been up there personally. I don't like watching your training up there. Too high. I don't like the angle looking down on the horses. I like standing in the grandstand on the second level, where you've got much more flat. You can see your horse's stride better because you're looking at them more of a, more on a ground level.
Sure.
And not totally ground level. You're still elevated, but you can see the horse is striding out. When you watch it from up top, you just get a totally different look of the training. And I just can't grasp the horse's stride as well as I can when I see it lower. I can actually see how far they're stretching out. I can see the exercise riders more and how much they're moving on the horse. But, it's all one's preference.
Well,
it's easier to time. It's easier to time a race up there. Obviously, you don't have all the obstructions, and you can see every pole. So I can see clockers being up there. But from an observational standpoint, personally, I enjoy being lower down.
Well, you've been watching, obviously, Steve, and had the field change a little bit, and certainly Quip coming out and waiting for Preakness, probably the most noteworthy movement. Some thoughts since last week, and with Tuesday's draw, probably the final elements, way they're going to line up and spill out of the gate, but just some further thoughts since we talked last.
Well, not a lot has changed. I mean, Quip coming out obviously takes away a pace more of a pace presence, a horse that likes to stalk and be right up there. So you have one less of those, and you substitute with a horse that wants to come from much farther back. So that'll add another leg closer to the field. But there's still quite a bit of speed and stalking speed, and that's one of the things where you're trying to figure out where certain horses are going to be. And that's one of the reasons why I was looking for a horse like Vino Rosso, and even a horse, my number two horse, who I'm starting to like more and more now, Good Magic. I'm starting to look at him in a more favorable light because of the fact that the pace scenario of the race, if you're looking at all the brilliant horses in there, you're looking at the potential superstars, Justify and Mendelssohn and Magnum Moon, and then you look at speed horses like Promises Fulfilled, and you look at Flame Away, who wants to be on the lead, and you look at Bravazo, who wants to be close to the lead. You start looking at these races and you say, you know, I mean, Justify is going to have to put away two really, really good horses. Same with Mendelssohn and same with Magnum Moon. They're going to be in basically the same place. Those three brilliant horses are going to be in the same place. So you got to feel it's going to be a contentious pace. And we discussed this last week. That's why it was kind of surprising, like we discussed last week, with a horse like Boldoro, who I was looking, even though most of his races he's running second or third and fairly close to the pace, I felt he was a horse that would benefit being sucked back into the field a bit and running more of, you know, mid-pack, maybe back in seventh or eighth and making a steady run in it. And then he had that 7-furlong workout, and I started looking at the fractions, and I'm seeing 46-3, 58, and 4, and each eighth getting progressively slower, where you'd want to see it the other way around. I mean, when you're looking for a derby work, I like to see horses get faster as they go along. So the fact that he got slower in the race, and he was being asked quite a bit in the stretch. So I don't know what the strategy is going to be now. I don't know if he's going to be able to take back. You know, it's a lot of these horses, we're not going to see these horses train in Churchill. We're going to have to, you know, watch their works, including Justify, which is unusual for Baffert to ship in so late. So we're going to have to basically go what they do at San Anita, which obviously is a totally different racetrack than they're going to be. They will be training on at Churchill Downs or running on at Churchill Downs. So I don't know what to expect from him now. I'm curious to see his next work. It just doesn't look like that's the kind of work you want to give a horse if you want him to take him back. So maybe they put the early speed in him because they want to make sure he is close to the pace. But if he is close to the pace, you know, how is he going to handle Justifying Mendelssohn and Magnum Moon? The one positive aspect of the race is that everybody was saying, I don't know about him. You know, he hasn't found his two-year-old form. He's had two hard races. You know, he had a real gut-wrencher in the San Felipe. He was ridden really hard trying to chase Justify in the San Anita Derby. So he's had two really hard races. So the fact that he comes back with a 7-furlong work, you know, fairly quickly, you know, he didn't wait that long to work 7 furlongs, that to me is a positive sign. I like to see a horse come back. But again, he's the one horse that really has me stumped most of all. I really don't know what to expect from him because I don't know where he's going to be and I don't know what to take from this workout.
Well, I'm taking a positive view too. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the whole thing. I didn't know what to do with him this week. I've had him all over the place. I've had him first. I've had him second. I've had him fourth. I've had him sixth. I'm just trying to figure him out, and I figured I'm just going to wait as long as possible until I get a gut feeling, and that's basically what it's all about. And then we have to wait to see what the weather's going to be. You know, you keep hearing about, you know, potential possible thunderstorms, 40% chance of rain. You know, who wants that? If you wind up with a sloppy track, then everything that's been discussed, all the theories, all the stats, everything in January, yep, February, March, April, it becomes meaningless because you just don't know excuse me, how it's going to play out. Because whenever it is sloppy, you know, a lot of times you have something crazy happen. You know, I think the slop helped Always Dream last year because nobody really pressed the pace. And then you had a horse like Looking at Lee come late from way out of it. You look at the year Orb won in the slop. The pace totally collapsed. I think the first four finishes came from like 18th, 17th, 19th. They all came charging from out of the pack. You know, and then you look at Minette Bird in the slop, and he came from dead last with that crazy run. So it's hard to handicap. You can't handicap it anymore. Well, things you go by because you don't know how these horses are going to handle it. And you start looking at pedigrees and you got to start all over again, basically, to try and handicap it. So the one good thing I take out of it is that it's so hard to predict the weather in Louisville, 2 days before, never mind, a week and a half before. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll change. But so far, they're remaining pretty steadfast as far as potential showers, thunderstorms, well, whatever.
Yeah, that's a that's one of those around here. You know, we you learn to just wait until literally. I mean, it's almost to the point where you wait 36 hours out. I mean, to really have a clue what you're going to get. I mean, it's
I've seen it change so many
impossible
times
here. Yeah, exactly.
And you know what I like too, by the way, is that you know we haven't had many works at Churchill Downs, but we've had some really good ones. And I, you know, I'm very pleased to see that. You know, starting with Lone Sailors, 57-3. You know, when you see a come from behind horse work like that, you know, you have to take notice. I mean, it does raise eyebrows that a horse like that is going to work that fast. And you know, listen, he's an improving horse. I thought he should have won the Louisiana Derby, and he would have won the Louisiana Derby if he didn't, you know, drift out, and then the jock took him all the way back to the rail again. And I think the drifting out is when he allowed Noble Indy to come back at him because he looked like he had that race won. So you know, he's really getting good right now. If you're looking for one of those typical 30-1 shots to finish second or third, you know, to get into the exotics. Then I was absolutely thrilled with Good Magic's work, even though it was only a half mile, you know, maintenance work in 48. I just absolutely loved the way he looked. Just loved his coat, loved his muscle tone, loved the way he was striding out, the way he was his extension, the way he galloped out, the way he was cutting the corner, came down a stretch absolutely perfectly straight, didn't do anything wrong, head perfect. I mean, it was just an absolute perfect work. I absolutely loved what I saw. And to me, I'm seeing a horse that's ready to peak. I mean, this looks like a typical Chad Brown third race off a layoff course. And, you know, I totally throw out his first start. Gulfstream Park, speed-favoring track. Two speed horses get out there by themselves. They don't come back. He was two workouts short going in there, so that's fine. You know, he got a race out of him. It was important for him to come back and make a you know big step forward in the bluegrass, but not too big. And that was exactly what you're looking for. Came back, ran a terrific race, but watching the bluegrass, you knew that there was a lot left in that horse. I mean, Chad Brown's left a lot in the tank. So you want to see how he handles the track. And I, like I said, I just think he was just gliding over the racetrack. Yeah. So that to me was a positive sign. And I think he's a potential overlay, you know, for a champion. Two-year-old, I think he's going to be a decent price. And then I was really happy with what I saw from Free Drop Billy. I'm not saying he's good enough to win the race. You know, he doesn't have that quickness. But again, if you're looking for a bit, you know, 35-1 shot, his work was unbelievable. I mean, he opened gallop for I don't know how long to the pole and just broke off running. And then went, you know, 59, but the way he was extending himself and his head and his neck out and a tremendous gallop out. He just kept going and he wound up going seven furlongs on 125 and two. The way he was huffing the rail, which I love to see, you just love to see those things. And again, what I liked about both his work and Good Magic's work is that they were by themselves, so they didn't have a horse to run at, a horse to make him competitive. They did it all on their own. So, you know, I got very, very positive vibes from Good Magic and Free Drop Billy. So right now I'm really curious, obviously, as everybody else is, to see Fletcher's horses working tomorrow.
Well, and they look good, and it's, you know, it's funny.
They look great. Their coats look fantastic, I'll tell you.
Yeah, they all look, they all have their own positives and you know, vibe about them and certain qualities too. I mean, Magnum Moon this morning broke off first and so I got to watch him and then the rest, I thought today Magnum Moon, you know, was particularly, you know, nice. Was it yesterday? Vino Rosso, makes a great impression. And Noble Indy, physically, he doesn't, it's interesting that Noble Indy, physically doesn't look to me, it doesn't look like a big long striding type. He's a little bit more compact, but he is a handsome horse. He's the one that I've been interested in him from early on, but I certainly I don't know how I'm going to utilize all the Todd horses. I mean, it feels like this is the best, you know, of the years that he's had multiple entries, Steve, this feels like the best group that he's brought. And as opposed to some years where we knew, you know, like a Discreetly Mine had no business really going a mile and a quarter, and we all knew that. There's nobody in this group that is, you know, sort of a shrug him off easily kind of horse.
I think he's the best group anybody's ever brought, to tell you the truth. And let me ask the question, by the way. When was the last time you saw a Todd Toucher horse that wasn't handsome? I mean, they all look good. They all carry great, they all carry great flesh. They all have good good coats. And I'll tell you, I know this is going to sound like a bold statement, but it would not surprise me in the slightest if Fletcher makes history by running 1-2-3.
Scat Daddy can make history, too. He could run 1-2-3.
Well, the thing is, if you have question marks about Justify with his experience, if you have question marks with Mendelssohn coming from Europe, I mean, just saying, if you do, you know, are the chances are that it's going to happen? No, but it would not surprise me. Though his top three horses look so strong right now. And, you know, watching Magnum Moon, you know, he's obviously the least professional of the three. And I'm going to say he's not professional.
Right.
But Vino Rosso is the ultimate pro. I mean, Vino Rosso does nothing wrong. I have not seen... that's one of the reasons why I have him on top, by the way. I can't find a flaw in him. And just watching him on the racetrack, he's just such an eye-pleasing horse. And that's one of the things I loved about him when I saw him in the Wood Memorial and watched his early races. He's such an eye-pleasing horse. And it's funny that when they come out on the track in the morning, Magnum Moon always comes out side by side with Audible. And you know, Magnum Moon looks like a defensive tackle next to a field goal kicker. I mean, Magnum Moon is just a big, awesome, muscular horse. And Audible is more of an, you know, into mischief type. But I tell you, statistics, if you completely throw out pedigree and just look statistics, speed ratings, nobody's got, you know, maybe Justify, but I mean, basically nobody has better speed ratings than Audible. I mean, he's got the... If you look at his Bristnet numbers, the middle and late pace numbers, he's got the ability to run fast in the middle and faster at the end. And you don't see that very often. That makes him very dangerous, and he has the ability to take back like he did in the Florida Derby. You know, Johnny Velasquez didn't take him back to last way off the pace. He took himself back. He just dropped a bit. It's almost as if he knew, you know what, they went 21-4 for the first quarter, so I'm not going to run. I'm not going to run. He took himself completely out of the race. He was like fourth going into the turn, like a length and a half, two lengths off the leaders, and just took back. He just totally dropped a bit. And, you know, Johnny V was getting kind of worried there, trying to get him going. And then as soon as he hit the backstretch and everybody settled into stride, he picked up the bit again and just started picking up horses one by one. Again, the scenario fit his, you know, style, but, you know, we really don't have any idea how good he is. So, I mean, those three Fletcher horses, and you can't knock Noble Indy either, but I don't think he's quite on par with the top three. But those three horses can very easily run 1-2-3 in the race.
I pulled up both Fletcher and the two candidates for these multiple horse approaches are Fletcher and Zito. And I suppose, you know, looking at
Zito was strong too. I mean,
he had the year with Bellamy Road,
and he had the Florida, I was at High Yield, the Florida Derby winner, and
High Fly. But he,
High Fly.
Well,
he had the Riggio horse, Noble Causeway.
Sun
King. I mean, it was a strong group. I don't think it was quite as strong as this, well, even though obviously Bellamy Road.
Sun King,
like
Sun
freak.
King, who was as talented as any of them.
Yeah. No, that was good. But you know when I started having negative vibes about that, is that all Nick kept talking about all week, his goal, I should say even before that, in those years I was there 2 weeks before the Derby, and I'd be talking to Nick every day. His goal, and he told me this, he said he wants to become the first trainer in history to have five horses in a Kentucky Derby for five different owners. And he trained his horses that way. He trained his horses very light. Those horses, to me, they did not do enough. The horses coming off the Florida Derby and the layoff, you know, High Flying Noble Causeway. He trained those horses so light, gave them just short, slow works. And I think he was, in some ways, protecting these horses to try and get them to the Derby. And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, because once you get in the gate in the Derby, anything can happen. But as it turns out, we had that crazy scenario with Spanish Chestnut, who was owned by Coolmore, who had Bandini that year. And, you know, even though Todd Pletcher didn't train Spanish Chestnut, Patrick Biancone did. You know, Pletcher wanted him as a as a rabbit, you know, for Bandini and for Flower Alley, and to kill off Bellamy Road. Because Bellamy Road, remember, won Wood Memorial by 17 and a half lengths and got a 120 buyer, and that equaled the track record. Nobody knew what they were dealing with. So Spanish Chestnut, Patrick Biancone did not want to run that horse. And Coolmore ran him to help Bandini and Pletcher. And as it turns out, Spanish Chestnut killed off everybody, including Pletcher's, both of Pletcher's horses, Flower Alley and Bandini, and set it up for the quote, the slowest horse in the race, Giacomo. It turned out to be a crazy race, because everybody was talking, saying that was the greatest Derby field. Fleet Alex had won the Arkansas Derby by 8 lengths.
Yep.
Bandini had won the Bluegrass by over 6 lengths. Bellamy Road won the Wood Memorial by 17 lengths. I mean, you're saying, wow, what are we doing? How are you going to beat these horses? Well, you can, you know, thank Spanish Chestnut in there. He went out there and set a torrid pace and just killed off everybody and set it up for Giacomo. Anything can happen in the Derby. We've seen it.
Well, and I would say of the Pletcher years, probably 2000, maybe 2007, when Scat Daddy was 18th, Any Given Saturday was 8th,
right.
Circular Key was 6th, Sam P was 9th, and Cowtown Cat was last. Revolutionary, he had that in 2013, Revolutionary, Palace Malice, Verrazano, Overanalyze, and Charming Kitten, 5.
Yeah, that's a good 5. His problem in 2007 is that Pletcher got caught up in the whole training at Keeneland on the poly track. And everybody went there. Doug O'Neill had to, at one point, had 3 horses in the Derby, ran 2.
That's right. That's
Pletcher
right.
had 5. Everybody was stabled. Hart Spun, you know, had that crazy mile workout over there where he came back totally exhausted. And everybody told Larry Jones afterwards, he says, you do not work a mile on poly track. And I mean, it absolutely exhausted the horse.
That's
and
great.
And the only horse, because I remember being there, by the way, I had to drive in the morning. I had to drive an hour over to go to Keeneland every morning. And people were carpooling to go to Keeneland. That's where everybody was. There was only one horse. Actually, there were 2 horses at Churchill Downs. One of them was one of Pletcher's horses, Sam P. He kept him there, but he was the one Pletcher horse had no shot. And Street Sense. And Street Sense was tearing up the racetrack in the morning, but he was the only one there. There was no Derby horses there. Everybody had to go to Keeneland. So it was an absolutely crazy year. And then I remember when Larry Jones shipped Heartspun to Churchill Downs, coming off that mile work. And, he was feeling bad about it. He said, what did I do? I think I just ruined the horse. I worked him a mile. He went like a mile, 141 or 40 or something like that. But he completely gutted him, because that poly track was so deep at Keeneland that nobody ever worked a mile over it. So what did he do? He comes back to Churchill Downs, and he works him 5 furlongs in 57 and 3. Everybody gets on him now for working the horse too fast.
Exactly.
And everybody was saying, oh, Larry, you know, I think he just ruined the Derby. He had no shot in the Derby. And he had the best line after the Derby. Hartspun winds up running 2nd to Street Sense in the Derby. And I remember Larry, after the race, went back to the barn. The first thing he said was, he says, you know what, I think I might have worked him too slow. Hartspun ran a winning race. But, Street Sense got through with the typical Calvin Burrell rail skimming ride. He's lucky that the whole rail opened up for him. But Hartspun ran a tremendous race after working 57-3.
Yeah, it was that was memorable, and you make me think, Steve, of some of those offbeat training stories. And another phenomenon was the Afleet Alex two-a-days.
Oh God! Yes.
Having to go back in the afternoon to watch.
Yeah, nobody's seen anything out. Like that. Oh, I mean, some of the other trainers there. I remember Lucas was saying, "What the hell is this guy doing?" I remember being at the barn with Lucas, and Afleet Alex was coming off the track early. You know, he had gone out at like 5:30 or whatever it was when the track opened. You know, for his jog, and he comes over, and I remember Lucas standing outside his barn as Afleet Alex walked by. He says, "That little muskrat is Afleet Alex." I never heard anybody call a horse a little muskrat. But then nobody could believe it. He'd go out every morning at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. He'd jog around the racetrack, come back, cool out, do everything. 8:30, you know, after the break, then he was back again. This time he'd go out back there for like an open gallop. It was wild. And listen, he almost pulled it off. He would have pulled it off if the horse didn't come down with a... come out of the Derby with a lung infection. He finished third. He only got beat a length. He ran a tremendous race, but he did have a lung infection. I think it was like 3 on a scale of 5 or something like that. So it was enough to get him beat a length. And then obviously he came back and actually destroyed Giacomo after that. So and he was obviously a much, much better horse than Giacomo. But that was a crazy year. Oh, listen, I look back and, you know, that's one thing I missed, by the way. Again, the entire world saw all the training and all the workouts at a time when nobody saw it. Yeah. I remember watching a work, being up there at the boxes watching a work, and Mike Pipey was up there with the owners of Old Trieste. And he worked 6 furlongs. And I remember I had my watch on him, too. And I looked at my watch and I said, I got to verify this. This can't be right. And then, as it turns out, it was, and the horse worked 6 furlongs and 109 flat. And I remember Mike Pipey didn't even, the owner stayed in the box, and Mike Pipey left the box and started walking, and I went over to him, and I said, so, Mike, what do you think? And I remember Pipey saying, he says, I don't know whether to laugh or throw up. That was his exact words.
<That's right. laughs>
But there's a million stories.
Well, I certainly miss my early introduction, Steve, to those days, and you and Ed Fontaine. And,
yeah, I remember you with the year, you know, the Barbaro year.
We had fun, a lot of fun.
With Brother Derek and Song and a Prayer. Remember the morning when Kenta Somo didn't show up for his workout?
Yep.
Everybody's trying to find him and trying to locate him and calling him up. And I always forget, it was Sweet Southern Saint, right?
Sweet Northern Saint.
Sweet Northern Saint. There were two of them. There's a Sweet Southern Saint and a Sweet Northern Saint. But I remember... calling the hotel room and not knowing what to do and had no rider for the workout. And it was, I remember those days.
That was a fun
barn. Those days where you were busy writing and writing every day with your selections. Yep. And,
we had a little bit of a little bit of a retrospective on that year with Danny Pites when I was at Oaklawn, and I grabbed Dan and we were, you know, we were talking the lows actually and their circumstance with Magnum Moon, and we went back to Steppenwolf, and that's really when the first time I had a chance to get to know Danny, and he was at the other end of the shed, you know, barn 42.
Right.
But
you remember who the most famous occupants of that barn was?
Well, beside You mean that year or historically?
That year.
Well, Barbaro was on the other side.
No, it was not. It's a trick question, by the way. The two most famous occupants in that barn with Danny Pipes is two kittens.
Oh.
Do you remember them?
I do, actually. Now that
the
you
two
say
cats.
That.
Everybody yep. fell in love with those cats. They were all over the backstretch. They were running around, and they were absolutely gorgeous. I forgot their names, but they became as famous as any of the horses.
In between, there was also Jazzle. Kieran was there with Jazzle, and the West Point horse who had post 20 and got hit by a flying horseshoe in the chest.
Oh God, yeah. I know who you mean.
I can't remember, but it I'll look it up here. But we had so much fun. It was just a for me, it was my first, you know, experience that it was particularly, you know, close to, you know, a flashy bull.
All right, so, flashy, of course. Flashy, I remember bull. What he called one of the owners would come out. He the only owner he used to that would beat me out to the track every morning, and he'd be out there. One of the West Point partners. We became really. Really close, and I'd go to the barn in the morning, and he was out there.
Well, you're a 4 o'clock.
Because
alive.
I mean, they have the, you know, they had Karen had two horses there, so, you know, different owners.
You're a 4 o'clock, 4:15 arriver.
Hey, what else is there to do?
That's true.
That was also, you know what made that a great Derby too, if you remember, by the way. That was the year the Hennigan brothers were filming their movie.
Right. Yep. First Saturday in May.
Yeah. Which, if anybody hasn't seen it, by the way, it's still
a lot of fun.
An absolute classic.
It's great. It is great.
Great, great, great movie. I mean, it really transcended the horse racing documentaries. I mean, it was fantastic. And both of the brothers were out there filming everything they could. And it was great. I remember going to the one of the premieres down in Delaware.
Well, they got very fortunate because Barbaro was one of the horses they were following, and
they followed
Dale Roman's Sharp Humor, and
so Dale Roman's son. Remember, he was just a kid back then, and he stole the movie.
Well, that's when that's when Jake became. You know, Jake became Jake with that bankroll, flashing the bankroll, and that's when he became famous.
Yeah, he had a big wad of bills in his pocket.
Yep. And let me tell you, every horse that he was betting, Clocker John Nichols was given to him because he hasn't
come up
with a winner on his own yet.
That's funny.
Steve, let me pull up because I got to get we fell behind this morning, so I'm playing catch up, but. Keep watching, and next week we'll have Lenny sitting here, and we'll do the big Shulman Haskin Derby preview.
That sounds like fun to me.
Absolutely. Steve Haskin, everybody. Follow Steve. He'll be prolific, as always, between now and after the draw, and we'll be broadcasting the draw from across the way. Back in that same room again this year, and
like Tuesday this year,
yeah, Tuesday, and yeah. Then in fact afterward, I'm doing something with Ed DeRosa, Gary Young, and Donna Brothers noon after the draw, and I think they're gonna Donna and Ed are gonna participate during the draw. And we'll give Donna the mic, and she might talk to some of the trainers and owners.
Sounds
so
great.
We should have some fun next Tuesday.
Sounds super. Look forward to it.
Steve Haskin, everybody. Steve, missing you here.
Take care. Have enjoyed the rest of your stay, and I'm sure you're eating well.
Well, we have a tendency to do okay on that front. Steve Haskin, everybody. Let's take a break here. And we got just up a little under 20 minutes into the hour. We've got to get to Tom Quigley for a Quigley's Corner visit. And I've been terrible. We haven't talked to Rich Eng in 3 weeks. I feel like a complete heel. So Rich Eng as well. And, of course, this is a big
opportunity when it comes to Triple Crown season. Rich's book, Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies, Rich always sells a bunch because the game kind of bubbles to the surface for a lot of people. And we'll talk to Rich about introduction to the game and the stuff he's writing for America's Best Racing and everything else. So we'll catch up with Rich. Back after this, though, Quigley's Corner is next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Vick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-464.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.